You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In Rajiv Joseph's two-character drama, Gruesome Playground Injuries, Jennifer Carpenter and Pablo Schreiber portray two friends, Kayleen and Doug, over the course of 30 years, from age 8 to 38, in what has been called one of the more challenging acting assignments of the season. The play opens this coming Monday, January 31st, at the Second Stage Theater, and I'm very pleased to welcome its two stars to our show today. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
So you're doing previews now, although the previews aren't running as long as Spider-Man.
Oh, thank God. Yeah.
Jennifer, your last New York theater outing was on Broadway in The Crucible, wasn't it, with Laura Linney and Liam Neeson? I assume this is a very different kind of experience, an intimate two-character play.
Very different. I was really excited and terrified to get back to the theater, and I read Rajiv's play and knew that Pablo was involved, and it was impossible to say no to.
Well, Pablo, you were nominated for a Tony Award for Awake and Sing, and also in Desire Under the Elms, the two classics. What's it like to bring a new play to the stage?
Yeah, I think they're different and equally challenging. Revivals tend to – there's a pattern there that's been laid, a framework that's been put out in the past. So it's kind of like – it feels in a way like trying to figure out how to get back to some success of something or other.
Well, and to with make new it
play,
your own.
Yeah, and then making it your own is really the challenge. But then with a new play, it's fantastic because you're laying the blueprint. You know, you're figuring out for the first time how does this particular play work for an audience.
And so you're making it difficult for anyone else who wants to do this in the future.
Yeah.
This play was produced in Houston and Washington, but this is its New York premiere.
Yeah.
Did either of you appear in the other productions?
No.
Aren't we seeing more new plays in New York that began in regional theater?
I don't know if that's the case. It may be. You may know more about that than I do. I mean, certainly I think it's good for shows to have an out-of-town test. Most producers like to have something, have it come from some success before they take a chance on it. So maybe that's part of the reason.
But for example, Rajiv Joseph, he's a hot young playwright. One of his plays, which was nominated for Pulitzer, is just coming to Broadway with Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to have been performed elsewhere.
Yeah, it was at Mark Taper Forum in Los Angeles, directed by Moises Kaufman.
Mm-hmm. What else has he written?
He's written three other plays. Animals Out of Paper. What was the other one at Second Stage? And another one that Second Stage also did. They've done two of his plays prior at their small house.
And Jennifer, was Rajiv present during the rehearsal process?
Almost every day. And it was such a luxury to have him there. He was a great reference. And part of the beauty of this play is you could take one sentence out of it and it's as beautiful as the whole, as the entire play. And when I would find that I would get stuck, I would look to Rajiv, and he was able to give me a lot of guidance to navigate. And I didn't expect that he was going to be there every day, but I'm really glad that he was. He's there almost every night now during previews as well.
Well, some directors hate the idea of the playwright hanging around, and there are all sorts of things that are interesting about this production. I wondered how much of them were the result of what was in the script. For example, the audience sitting behind, you're kind of playing in the round, aren't you?
Yeah, it's less in the round, more it's on either side. We're surrounded by audience. It's a typical proscenium setup that then has seats behind the stage. So we have audience members on either side. Yeah, the set design is a gorgeous set that Scott came up with the set designer Neil Patel, and I think it works really well. It's very, very basic, very. It lets the play kind of have its moment.
When you say Scott, you mean Scott Ellis.
Scott Ellis,
he's a pretty good director.
Yeah, he
has a wonderful track record.
Yeah.
When the play begins, you're both 8 years old. Isn't it difficult for an adult actor to play a child without overdoing it?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly the challenge, I think, for us has been trying to figure out how much. For me, I think for Jennifer too, and I'll let her speak to it more, but was kind of figuring out what the essence of the child was, one or two kind of important things that signified the child, but not to get caught up in too much behavior or mannerism because we didn't want it to become sketchy or cartoony.
And we're lucky that we got the time that we did in rehearsal we had a chance to go way too far and we were able to pull it back, and I think we've got to a pretty comfortable place.
As the play progresses, your characters meet from time to time, usually during a time of crisis or after a kind of bodily harm has befallen one of you. Is that where the title of the play, Gruesome Playground Injuries, comes from?
Yeah, the title of the play. Do you want to tell the story?
No,
or sorry? Okay, the title of the play
give
comes,
us a little plot synopsis.
The plot synopsis is that it's basically a story about two characters from 8 to 38 who intersect at random times in their life that are delineated by these injuries that they've sustained. Kayleen is the woman, and she has a more sort of internal emotional damage. Doug is a young kind of daredevil who hurts himself intentionally in order to make her feel like he understands her pain.
Although that you don't meet in a linear way. It isn't 8 and then 13 and then 18. You jump all over the place.
Right. 1 minute we're 8, then we're 23, then we're 13. And you sort of piece the play together, the story together as we move through it.
Are the characters always the same as far as you're concerned? Once you have established who Kayleen is at 8, is she the same person she is when you're 38?
No, that's part of the beauty of the play, I think. It's the evolution of a person. So the challenge has been to make sure that you introduce the character at 8 and that at 33, 23, 38, you're still seeing the same person. Maybe she's not as evolved as she could be, but but it's the same person.
You're both on stage pretty much the whole time, and you do your costume changes in full view of the audience, taking clothes from drawers that are built into the set. I guess these costume changes help you get into the age frame, and the audience has actually has a little scoreboard above telling us what age you are at any given time.
Yeah.
You don't have to peek.
No.
There was
a time when we did.
Yeah, exactly. No, they make for the transitions make for a very natural kind of progression from one age to another. They make for a break and delineation and time passing. And it was very important for Rajiv, the playwright, that the actors help each other with the changes, because so much of the play is about the character's inability to connect. And in those transitions, we actually see more connection and them helping each other and being intimate with each other in a way that they're not able to in the course of the play.
But you're not using makeup to affect these age changes, except for the injuries, which are mostly yours, Pablo, as we pointed out. So how do you get across these different ages? Is it much about using body language as well as your voice?
I found that my hands have been my guide. The through line that I've found is that the mannerisms sort of get more and more muted from, you know, at 8 years old, you start to wrangle yourself in a little bit. And if I can find Kayleen's hands at each age and some of those mannerisms are the same, then I know where I am. It's sort of my map, I guess.
I'm talking to the two actors in Rajiv Joseph's new play at Second Stage Theater, Gruesome Playground Injuries, Jennifer Carpenter and Pablo Schreiber. Rajiv Joseph's play that will be appearing on Broadway is called Bengal Tiger and the Baghdad Zoo, and have Robin Williams in it. You people have been doing a lot of different things, both in film and television as well as theater. Is that just the way actors are today? In the past, it was you kind of chose one or the other, unless you started in theater and then established yourself in the movies and once in a while went back and did a play.
I think it's a very fortunate thing to be able to go between mediums. Some people consider it a necessary thing. I certainly feel like I have to do a play at least once a year or once every couple of years just to feel grounded and steady in my process. Jennifer's been doing a wonderful TV show called Dexter for the last 5 or 6 years.
Playing Dexter's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And now has come back to us in the New York theater, and I think she's enjoying that, and she'll tell you now.
I started doing theater when I was 8 years old and focused like a laser beam on doing theater, and then I took a hiatus from it and was terrified to come back, and this play scared me enough to actually commit. So,
well, the fifth season of Dexter just ended last month. Will there be a sixth season? Because I'm wondering how many more potential victims there are.
There are a lot of bad people in the world Dexter has to kill. No, we're definitely going back for a sixth, and we'll start that in late May. I'm very excited. See what happens.
And probably people will remember you from The Wire, which has been called the finest TV series ever. Did you feel that way when you were working on it?
I didn't have a concept of that when I was working on it. I mean, you know, still a statement like the best TV show ever is a subjective thing. But I feel so fortunate to have been involved with that show because I feel it is TV of really high quality and intelligence.
But now you're in a pretty good series as well. Lights Out on FX?
Yeah, which I also think is of the same high quality. It's not The Wire in its scope or its breadth, but in terms of following a family in an intimate setting, it's quite a good drama.
Well, you have the Christian Bale role, don't you? The brother manager of a former heavyweight champion.
Big shoes to fill, but yes.
But not the same kind of guy.
No, he's the younger brother instead of the older brother, and he's not addicted to crack cocaine, so... I guess those make for big differences.
The show has very realistic boxing scenes. That it must be fascinating, filming that sort of thing for TV. It's different than in the movies where Martin Scorsese could have taken a very long time in
sure.
Raging Bull.
Yeah, we're lucky that the star of our show, Holt McCallany, is a lifelong fan of boxing and has been training for his whole life. And this is really just the culmination of an actor in a role at the perfect time, so...
Jennifer, do you ever wonder why prize fighting has become such a hot subject recently?
I don't wonder that very often, no.
So do you have other things coming out this year, films? How long is this play running?
Right now we're selling tickets till the
February
end,
20th.
End of February.
Yeah. And with hopes that it might go on a little longer.
Yeah, we have a possible extension till March 13th, and we'll see how that goes.
So that means that you can't work on anything else?
Not until we're done.
Mm-hmm. And then... other plays or movies?
Jennifer's...
I just finished a movie called Ex-Girlfriends. I'm not sure when that's going to be out. And then a movie called The Hungry Rabbit Jumps and a movie called The Factory with John Cusack.
Oh, so you've been a busy actor.
I'm going to take a vacation after this.
And you...
I have a movie called Happy, Thank You, More, Please that was the audience winner at Sundance last year. And that comes out on March 4th.
Why does it take a year for... Sundance is now... having its new run,
right.
But a whole year? Between...
Yeah, every you know movie has its own process. This one found a distributor at Sundance that then the relationship with the distribution company fell into rocky ground and they fired the distributor and got a new one. So it had some challenges getting to the screen, but it was the audience award winner, so it has a good track record and we'll see. I really like the movie.
Yeah, I'm still curious about the whole business of getting into character when you're the same character but you're a different character. This has to be a major challenge for an actor.
It's really kind of the matrix of the show for me is and it was the reason why I decided to take it was to figure out how to map the journey of a person over the course of 30 years and what are the essential characteristics and traits that remain in place through that person's life and what are the things that you see at one point that fall away at another.
Well, you did play twins in Dying City once, so this isn't totally new to you.
Similar, but different. The thing about playing twins that was great is that you have the advantage of knowing that if they're identical twins, they look exactly alike. So you don't have to, they share a lot of DNA.
But different personalities.
But then finding what are the very small things that do separate them. And with this, it was a similar challenge in at what age are they slightly different? And
I feel like a lot of the work existed in deciding what happened in the gaps and the times that the audience isn't seeing us on stage. And it's been really useful to have the transitions to sort of take a breath and look at one another and consider what happened in those gaps in times and then bring that into the next scene.
Well, we should tell people that information about tickets is on our show page at WNYC.org. The play Gruesome Playground Injuries by one of the hottest new playwrights, Rajiv now I've lost his last
Joseph.
Name.
Joseph.
It's at the Second Stage Theater, 305 West 43rd Street. And my great thanks to its two stars, the only two actors in the play, Jennifer Carpenter and Pablo Schreiber, for being on our show today.
Thank you so much, Leonard.
Thank you.